Essentially cave in on us constantly. California, if you missed it, Governor Newsom has just extended the lockdown in San Francisco and L.A. to the entire state. We have a lot of news up in headlines at rents.com for you. Share them, pass them around, stay informed. We are here every night, the third hour of the program, to bring you up to date as well as we can on this expanding coronavirus crisis. Dr. Henry Nyman is back with us tonight. I'm going to get right into it with Henry. The numbers keep going up as you forecast 2 months ago. We laid this all out. There are now some pretty stark numbers, and it's a result of testing. These cases have been around here for weeks and weeks, but now we're able to see them, and so that is causing the panic. You can't see it. You can't react to it. Don't test. Don't tell. But now they're testing, and now people are beginning to react. Henry, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, and there is a lot of news, as you said, and it is expanding very dramatically, just like the numbers are, and it's not even so much that they can see the numbers. They can see the numbers going up and on a daily rate. And when they see that, they realize that, this whole thing about us being X number of days behind Italy, they realize that we're not just on the path to achieve what happened in Italy, but we're on a path to actually surpass what happened in Italy and do it on a much grander scale. And we're on the path to have the largest number of reported cases and the largest number of deaths. And the officials know this. They've known this for a little while. One person, I don't know what he knows, but he pretends not to know it. In the past, it was a hoax, and now he knew it all along, and he's still not releasing the stuff from the Strategic Reserve. He authorized it. He could go to it in the future if we need it. This guy, I mean, he's still not sure whether we're going to need it. People washing their masks because they only got one in their. Making masks out of cloth, and he's going to kill off all the healthcare workers. And then it doesn't matter about the beds. There's nobody to take care of them anyway.
And how is this guy going to go down in history? Think about it.
He's kind of biggest fool. He's already related. He's already rated last among U.S. presidents. Historians already did this a year or two ago. They said, well, maybe he'll get better when he did that a couple of years ago. And he's firmly in last place. And he's just going to be the biggest clown that's ever,
deadly
had that much
clown.
Power. Deadly. Yes, he'll be the biggest killer, too. I mean, this is 1918. It's right on track. And the forecast, it's a question of, I mean, it's not even that hard to calculate. It's known that this virus transmits as well, if not better, than flu. And it's known how quickly flu can spread from the swine flu. They look to the swine flu before the vaccine came out, and they measured antibodies to know whether people had been infected. Mm-hmm. And they did a study in Pittsburgh, and they found, they did it with school age children, and they basically just did a test on all the serum samples that they had collected, and it was at UPMC. So they took that age group that had been collected, you know, between the spring and the fall, and ran the assay to see if they had swine flu antibodies indicating that they had been infected with that virus. And they found that 40% of the samples were positive. So it had already infected 40% of the population, the school population in Pittsburgh before the vaccine came out, which was like in December of 2009. And that's essentially what's being predicted for this. The numbers are between 30 and 50% of the entire population will be infected by this virus. And the only difference there is some say it'll happen within the next year, and some say it'll happen within the next couple of months. So some say it's going to basically cover that much of the population before summer. And others say that, well, they'll give it another round. If it fades a little in the summer, it'll get that high in the fall. But either way, they're talking 30 to 50% of the population. And the numbers are looking worse than they looked in China. And
Hold on. I want all of you to pay attention. He just said something that is monumentally important. We know how bad it was in China. And I think that a lot of people died in China. A lot. And now we're looking at numbers here and rates of infection that portend even worse here. Think about it. Go ahead, Henry. Sorry. Important.
And it's early, but there are indications that in New York City, I think, what were the numbers? Something like 150 are already hospitalized and 50 are in ICUs. And it's just getting started there. Yeah. And they're already concerned that they're going to run out of ventilators and that they're going to run out of beds.
Think about
then,
it.
Yeah, and then in Eastern Pennsylvania, they're running out of masks, and they're running out of everything. Some of them don't have the kits to extract the DNA, so they got the kits to do the test, but they can't do the test without the DNA. Other ones have the kits, but they run out of the swabs. They can't do the nasal pharyngeal swab because they've used up all of their swabs doing their testing.
Excuse me, Henry, but do you understand what the enormity of what Henry's saying is? This country, under Trump, 3.5 years, cannot produce masks, PPEs, and now they can't make Q-tips. They're a little longer than normal Q-tips. But this country has not been led in any direction but down into the depths of darkness. No new manufacturing has been brought home here. This is outrageous. It's beyond words outrageous. The worst president,
right. Easy. Plus, he's ignored this, or if you looked at it, he just said it
was
a hoax.
2 weeks ago, he called it a hoax.
And,
come on.
And all of these supplies, or most of these supplies, are made overseas. A lot of them are made in China. And they just got all bought up while we were sitting and calling it a hoax and saying there's nothing going on here, nothing to see. This is just a plot to unseat Trump. And it's overblown, and they got a guy going into Congress wearing a gas mask, kind of making fun of the whole thing. then one of his constituents dies, he takes off the mask, and they're just pretending that it doesn't exist. Or if it is, it's kind of like seasonal flu, and Trump would say, oh, yeah, there's 20,000, there's 40,000, there might be 80,000 people die from flu. There's only been, at the time, I think he said there's only been five or something that have died from this. So they're making a comparison, apples and oranges. They're taking seasonal flu that happens every year. Right. A fair number of people die. It's not unusual. It's been going on for years. He may not know that, but anybody paying attention, I mean, they used to just use 50,000, and some people say, well, you know, he's always had 50,000 deaths, and they started fine-tuning it. And he said, well, this year we think there's going to be 20,000, and next year it's 30,000. They kind of gave a tighter estimate. But it was in that range. It's been that range for decades. It's not a new development. It might be new to Trump, but it's nothing new. And this is a new virus. It's not even the same class. It's a coronavirus. And coronaviruses have caused colds in the past. They're usually mild and they spread nobody pays that much attention to them because they're mild. They don't get pneumonia. They don't go in the hospital. They get over it. You know, generally it's without consequence, and people just have a cold for a week and it resolves. They never even see the doctor, and there's no vaccine, in part because it's not that serious of an illness. And when SARS came along, there was interest in growing. And for creating a vaccine, but it kind of went away. It was only here for two seasons, and the second season was pretty short. And at least officially, there haven't been any cases. But now this one, it's got the transmissibility of flu, maybe even higher.
Someone said it's 10 times more infectious than the normal flu. That was some person's a doctor said this. There are a lot of there's a range of opinion. Just remember this though. On Monday, 3 days ago, Donald Trump said on a scale of 1 to 10, he gives himself a perfect 10 for his response to the coronavirus pandemic.
He gives himself a 10 for anything. All you have to do is ask him. I mean, I knew he was going to give a 10. As long as it's on that scale, he's got his answer. It's always a 10. It's always a 10. Yeah. But in any event, just to give you an idea of how deadly this virus is, Pennsylvania had their first death on Wednesday. And they didn't really say a whole lot. All they said was an adult who had been in the hospital and who had died. And it was a little bit unclear exactly who this person was, other than he was died up in Northampton was the county. It's in eastern Pennsylvania, but it's kind of in the middle going up. And then recently, there was a story about this family in New Jersey that the matriarch, who was in her early 70s, had died. Uh-huh. And three of her children had also died. And it turns out one of her children was the death in Pennsylvania. And that they are horse breeders. And it turns out the first death in New Jersey was up in Bergen County, and he was a horse trainer, and that was the connection. He somehow, they don't know how he got infected, although he frequently went to New York, so they thought somehow in New York he was infected. And
all you got to do is go to a relatively, but you just have to go into a relatively closed environment. It hangs in the air for up to 4 hours. If it's been expelled, you can inhale it. It's not hard to get infected with this. It's airborne.
Right. So the point is that somebody in the family got infected. Yeah. And then they had a family gathering on the 3rd of this month. and a bunch of the family members got infected. And the mother has died, and three of her children have died, and two more of her children are on life support, and one other child, she had 11 kids, and one of the other children is in the hospital. So there's already four members of that family are dead. Two more are on life support. One more is in the hospital, and a whole bunch of them are getting tested, other family members. And this was from a family gathering. This is from a family gathering on the 3rd of this month. So within 2 weeks of that gathering, four of them are dead already, and a couple more are close to being dead. And they were affected by the first death in New Jersey. And so the virus is deadly. And give you an idea, since there's a little bit of testing now, to give you an idea of what's going on in New Jersey, this Sunday, there were 98 cases. On Monday, it was 178. On Tuesday, it was 267. Yesterday, it was 427. And today is 749 with 9 dead. So it's gone from 100 to 700 in a week. And that's the type of expansion. You know, presumably they had a similar number of tests for the last 6 or 7 days. And this steady progression of confirmed cases is because that's how fast the virus is spreading. And then the same thing's going on in New York. New York City basically doubled overnight. So they've got like over 1,000 in one day in a 24-hour period. And it's kind of the same numbers for New York State. So as a result of that, just New York and New Jersey, the U.S. is kind of just running right up the charts, if you will, of reported cases. And you know, I said this yesterday, that we were going to go past South Korea yesterday, and that we would go past France today, and we'll go past Germany tomorrow. So the U.S. is now up to 14,152 cases. France has got 10,000. They're way behind. South Korea's got 8,000. They're even further behind. And Germany's got 15,000. They'll be behind by the end of the day tomorrow. And Spain's got 18,000, and we'll be close to both Spain and Iran. And after Spain and Iran, the only two in front of us are Italy and China. And Italy just passed China with deaths. Italy's up to 3,405 now. They had another 400 deaths today. They had like 475 yesterday and 425 today. And we're going to beat them. We're going to have more deaths in Italy by a long shot because we're just getting started. The U.S. deaths, I told you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had told you yesterday, one of the reporters got up and said, you know, we had 100 deaths, and now we're up to 110. That's a 10% rise in, like, less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And they got some poo-poo answer, you know, oh, the fatality rate, you know, that way they calculated the dead go first, and that's why it starts out higher and it gets lower. They didn't even answer the question. He was worried about it going from 100 to 110 in one day. Well, the total right now is 208.
He's a moron.
So it more than doubled in a day. He was worried about 10. This is a reporter. He was worried, went up 10% in one day. Isn't that something to be worried about? And it really went up 100% in one day. So now there's 200 deaths. And once it starts going in a logarithmic amount, it's just going to keep on doubling every, usually 2 or 3 days. This is doubling in one
maybe
in
double
one day.
Every and, day. And it's gonna it's right. just pick it's just starting. Right. You're right. It's just starting.
And this family is an example. I mean they were infected by the first death. So the person that the horse trainer that infected them.
Yeah.
At least one of them. Prior to him, there were zero deaths in New Jersey. And this one family has done 3 in New Jersey and the only death in Pennsylvania. And they've got a couple more that are on life support. So, you know, by tomorrow, they might have 6 deaths in that family. And the family's large. He had 11 kids and, I don't know, 27 grandchildren. So there's 20 of them are in quarantine right now.
A real tragedy.
And they're waiting on their test results. But it's not just how many people, you know, what the penetrance rate was, you know, how high a percentage of the family got infected, but they're all dying. It's not just that they got, and they're not that old. The mother was 70, 72. The children are all in their 50s, and they're not just, you know, getting pneumonia and have to go on, you know, go into the ICU. They're getting pneumonia, going to the ICU and dying.
Well, and looking ahead, briefly, Henry, just let me say this.
Okay.
Donald J. Trump is personally accountable for a lot of dead people already. Had he done what his advisors and intelligence briefers were telling him in December about China, and it would probably spread, they knew, he sure as hell knew in early January, had he ordered the production facilities to retool and begin to make masks, PPEs, Q-tips for swabs, anything, he would have been able to take some credit for leadership. He did nothing. We're going to lose a hell of a lot of doctors, nurses, first responders, firefighters, police officers. You haven't seen anything yet. As Henry is saying, this is just beginning. We're going to be in a situation here, not very long down the road, Henry, when people who went out to rush and panic shop and bought 3 weeks' worth of food, when they run out of food, what's going to happen? When the police no longer answer 9/11 calls because they're all sick or dead or incapacitated, what's going to happen? The criminals are going to come crawling out from under every rock you can imagine. That's what's going to happen. Go ahead, Henry.
Well, criminals might be too sick also. I mean, the big problem is really going to be the virus. The virus is going to make people sick who basically, you know, maybe they'll get some results with some of these treatments. The chance is not real high. I mean, generally, if a drug works in a given situation, you want to kind of switch gears and think it's going to work on a rapidly growing virus. It's a long shot. I mean, it works in testing.
Rapidly growing and rapidly changing virus. We got to keep underscoring that. This virus, viruses, like anything, seek to live and to become more proficient at doing what they do. That's the problem here.
And a lot of it is related to viral load. I mean, the fact that people are dying doesn't necessarily mean that virus does a whole lot more than grows faster. And you end up getting more virus, and then it can go to these other organs and create all kind of problems, which it would, you know, the other versions would do also, but they basically don't grow fast enough to outpace the immune response, and so they kind of get under control. But when the virus, you know, when you get infected at a higher start with a higher viral load, or the virus can replicate more quickly, or can evade. I mean, it's got a lot of ways they can do this, and they can evade the immune system. But You know, I haven't seen the sequence yet as to what's going on in this New Jersey, Pennsylvania, but I'm guessing it's the same. It's the same strain that's in Italy, and that strain is in Italy, and it's in France, and it is in the U.S. I mean, there's some versions of it in Utah, and there's some recombinance with it actually in Orange County, but there will be more. There's kind of it takes a little longer to get these sequences. There's a little bit of a lag time, so the sequences that are showing up now are generally ones that were around, you know, a couple of weeks ago where the cases were identified. But I'm not sure. I mean, most of the population now knows that there's something going on and that the politicians wouldn't be taking these draconian measures just to exercise their muscle and say, let's see how difficult we can make life for our constituents. It's not the best way to get reelected. You know?
That's not the message.
Right.
The message is something bad is there.
Right. And they're taking these measures because they're at this stage, there's not a whole lot they can do except to try to slow it down. I mean, when they're talking about, lowering the curve, broadening the curve, flattening the curve. They're not really talking about, eliminating the virus, or they're not even talking about having fewer cases. They're really talking about just spreading it out over a longer distance so it doesn't hit the medical centers and the healthcare workers all at once. And so instead of having everybody showing up in the same week, they try to get it spread out so they'll be showing up over the same month, and it'll they'll have time to kind of get the initial ones in and off the machines or build more tents or temporary structures. I mean they're doing that right now on soccer fields and I don't know. I think it was up in Washington. The citizens are just going out. They kind of took a soccer field at one of the schools, and they're essentially constructing, a temporary structure to set up beds and take the overflow of the patients. So they're just trying to get more beds set up ahead of time. And it's like Trump is gonna wait until it's too late. You know, it's the type of thing. Well, we'll see how bad it's gonna get. You know, type of thing. And it's not that hard to figure out. All you have to do is look at the numbers.
Look, there's already been one call, Henry. I mentioned it last night from an MSNBC legal correspondent, their top legal correspondent, called for an investigation of Trump in terms of looking into criminally negligent homicide was one of them, I think. And anyway, the guy is accountable. The buck stops in the Oval Office, as I've said. He knew in January, and he listened to Jared Kushner and didn't do anything. Kushner said, oh, it's just a public relations problem. They're trying to hassle you and blah, blah, blah. And Trump is so stupid, he can't think for himself. He doesn't think for himself. He always asks other people what he should do. That's what he does. And what he didn't do was take care of the responsibilities of the presidency of the United States and the people he supposedly recommends.
But the amazing thing is he's still not doing it. I mean, he's still not doing it. And he says, well, I signed the authorization to use the Federal Reserve, but that doesn't mean I'm going to use it yet. So he's basically saying, I've got all these resources, but I don't really see a need, and he's essentially saying he's going to wait until healthcare workers are dying, essentially. Then he thinks he's going to come to the rescue, and he doesn't know that it takes weeks to get this stuff in place. Once
has he ordered one company to begin to retool to create masks, for example, or any of the necessary PPEs? I haven't heard a word.
He's doing everything for a soundbite. I mean, he's got the two Navy ships going. Well, they
won't be ready for weeks.
Right, the Comfort and the Mercy, and they're both undergoing maintenance. Neither one of them are ready to sail. They're in the dock undergoing maintenance.
Plus, they have internal air circulation, and anybody in those ships is going to be exposed because of the ventilation systems in those ships. You wait, it's going to happen. He has.
Well, I don't know.
Those are
Navy ships. I my guess is they're in good shape. The cruise ships are probably a much bigger deal. And that's what he's saying. Well, you know, we got some offers from the
to use cruise ships to house the sick.
The Princess Line too.
Oh my God!
They said they're not going to use them for the next 2 months. Or say, well, I got a few ships if you'd like to use to kind of house. You know, we've already tried that before. It worked like a charm. You know, we only got 30% infected. You know, that's not bad.
Astounding. Not one company that was making masks or has been charged by the government that I know to go ahead and
increase
production.
Well, he's saying they could use the 3M masks that are already made or something, and there's a million. And these guys are saying...
A million? That won't last
a
couple of days with all the healthcare workers.
Because, I mean, you're not supposed to reuse them. You're not supposed to wash them. You're supposed to maybe use them for a day, and once you're done for the day, you dispose of them, and you get a new mask. You don't... And the ones that he has are not the ones, you know, they're not N95.
They're not N95 top of the line medical masks. I read the story.
Right. Right.
They're more industrial masks.
Right. And that's what the problem is. They're cutting corners on it's so ridiculous. I mean, this is a virus that is so bad that they can't do what they did with swine flu. Swine flu, if you want to know whether you had the flu, you went to the doctors and they went and tell them how to set up. So you come to the front door, you go out the back door, you minimize the exposure, but you get a sample taken at the doctor's office. With this virus, they say, don't go to the doctor. They say, don't go to the emergency room. They say, call ahead. We'll kind of interview you, tell you whether you should come or not. And if you should come, you need an appointment, and you got to go to this special facility where everybody's decked out, at least partially. And, you know, you're going to sit in your car, and they're going to take your information, and you don't have to get out of the car because nobody wants to be near you anyway. You know, and they're going to have one person that's going to take your information and take a swab or two, or a three even. I think they might do nasopharyngeal and a throat swab. But hey, we'll collect the samples, we'll get the results, and, you know, we'll send you an email, or we'll send your doctor an email, or we'll send both, I don't know. But in any event, part of the problem with getting tested, it goes beyond the kits. Because even if they got the kits, they have to have a way to get the sample. And because none of the doctors
want have the swabs.
You coming there. They don't want you coming to their office to infect people because they're afraid of the virus. So they don't want you coming in, but they'll tell the healthcare workers who are going to get people with high viral loads that are in distress coming into the emergency room, and they'll say, put a cloth over your mouth. Don't worry about it. You know, it's not a problem. And they're going to infect these healthcare workers, and it's going to spread in the hospitals, and it's going to be more dangerous to go to the hospital than to stay home because
sure.
you're going to, you, you, you're, you're going to get sicker just in these, the waiting room.
These many hospitals are going to be crawling with virus in no time at all.
Right.
No time.
Right. And it's going to spread, and it's going to end up being, you're going to infect healthcare workers who are not dealing with infectious diseases. You're going to have people coming in. They're going to have the virus. They might have an early version. They're not talking about the fact they got a little bit of a cough, or they got a little bit of a sniffle, or they felt a little bit of fatigue. They're in there to get their heart surgery, or they're in there for, you know, whatever kind of checkup or whatever. And the doctor's not going to know that they're infected. And that's who's going to get infected. And then they're going to infect other doctors and other nurses and other healthcare workers. And there's going to be a shortage of healthcare workers. And then there's going to be a shortage of beds, because a high percentage, you know, it's like higher than 10 or 15%. It's like 20 or 30% end up in the hospital. And then they need an ICU bed. And then they need a ventilator. And then they need an ECMO machine. And then they need to recover. And all of that takes up a lot of personnel, a lot of machinery, a lot of time in the hospital. And they're going to run out of beds really, really quickly. And it's just getting started.
They're going to be out by next week, Henry. Give it another week.
Yeah. And these guys are talking, it's going to peak in 45 days. You know, if it's doubling every other day, you take any number and double it 22 times, you end up with a really big number, you know. And in many of these large cities, you're starting with a relatively big number. You're not starting with one or two patients. You're starting with 100 or 200, and then you're going up from there. And you don't have to go through that many doublings. If you're starting at 100, once you start getting to 500 or 1,000, you're already in trouble, because these beds aren't sitting empty. I mean, you've got X number of beds, but they're already 80% full. So you've only got 20% of what you've got in the hospital that are basically available at the beginning. And those
we only have 960,000 beds in America. That's all. That's it.
Yeah,
200,000 ventilators.
Right, and 30% of 300 million
is. 90.
It's 100 million. It's 90 million, right? Mm-hmm. 90 million, not 900,000. Or not even 9 million. So you got 1% covered. You know, 99% are kind of saying, could I be in a hospital?
They're going to be dying in the streets, friends, just like we saw in Wuhan. It's already going through the homeless now in California. It started, and they're worried about it. They're talking about it. This is going to be unfortunately, a major tragedy that could have largely been dealt with in a much more intelligent and efficient manner. Nothing has been done. Name me one factory that has been ordered by this administration to begin producing N95 masks. I've seen nothing. Still nothing. The middle of March. They knew about this January the 1st. They knew. Intelligence briefings are given every day. They knew. And this man has done nothing.
And Trump, right. Well, he doesn't want to admit that they're there. He didn't want them coming off the ship because it would mess up his numbers.
How heartless does it get? He said, keep them on the ship.
15 going to one. You know, that was his prediction, that it's going to be down to one person in a week or so. And then it was, we can't bring them off the ship. They're going to double my numbers. You know what the latest is? He wants to delay the release of the unemployment numbers because the unemployment numbers are going through the roof.
Oh, that's psychopathic. All about re-election. I don't want those numbers out there.
everybody in the world knows that, you know, the number of applications are, you know, in the hundreds of thousands, when it's normally, you know, 40,000 or 50,000. And they're going to go through the roof. There's already been predictions that the unemployment rate is going to go up 20%. And he's looking at this and he's trying to hold on to his 3.5%. And so say, well, can't we just kind of delay this and not give the number? And I mean, that's the other thing, the way you can create panic. You're going to go ahead and say, well, information not available. And people know that if information is not available, it's got to be bad information. And if it's not available and it's bad, then everybody's imagination creates a number that's probably even worse than it really is, because they're just imagining how bad is it that they can't give the unemployment numbers they give them every month. Well, how come they can't do it this month? And he thinks, and that's it. He thinks he can talk his way out of all this. He thinks he can talk his way out of the pandemic.
Just hold another rally. Just hold another rally, Donald. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he was doing that when the numbers were up. I mean, I know what a pandemic is. You know, I've known a pandemic, but we have great rallies. You know, maybe might know what a pandemic is, but he doesn't know how it grows.
Unbelievable.
And he doesn't know that.
32 million Americans out of work, 20%.
Yeah.
All right, 32 million Americans. And all these small businesses that are going to fail will not come back. Many of them will never come back. Many of them.
And he's comparing a pandemic that scientists are comparing to 1918, and he's comparing it to seasonal flu and saying how much worse seasonal flu is than a 1918 pandemic that killed 50 million people.
I don't even have words. I really don't. I've never seen anything like this. This guy is unbelievable.
And that's how absurd the whole situation is. I mean, he's holding these press conferences that say absolutely nothing. I mean, he called this one, oh, we got two new drugs. So these are the same two drugs that were announced a week or two ago. They're no further along. The one is in a clinical trial. It just got started. You know, maybe it'll be used on compassionate use. If it's so, then any type of promise, but, you know, trying to use it for something that it wasn't approved for, that, you know, hopefully it'll do something. But, you know, he's looking at this as being something very innovative, and it's really desperation. You know, it's kind of like, well, let's try this. We don't really have anything else. And so it's a long shot. You know, maybe he'll get lucky, and maybe he'll get a response, and maybe, but even at that, the FDA comes out with a statement after his press conference, and they're talking about, well, there may be some drugs that have been approved for other uses that will help with the symptoms of the virus. So they're not saying that, you know, this is going to be a miraculous cure and that it's going to be under control and all you got to do is pop this pill and you can get out of bed next, you know, tomorrow and go home. You know, that nobody's talking about that. They're talking about some relief of the symptoms. And, you know, it's to be seen. But there was nothing new at the press conference. You know, these two drugs were no further along today than they were last week. The one's in a trial, still in a trial. There's no results from the trial. And that, you know, he can use it for compassionate use, and, you know, people that were in dire straits, you know, have been able to use off-label drugs for compassionate use for forever. You know, I don't know forever, but for years. It's not.
Well, don't worry, everybody, because Mitch McConnell is going to make sure that all Americans get a one-time payment of $1,200. A couple, you'll get $2,400. And that's going to take care of what? Nothing. You watch. There'll be a call for universal guaranteed income coming very shortly after that. This is not going to go away, friends, by the end of March. California, we're going to keep everybody in their home till the end of March. Like what's going to happen then? It's going to get worse then. That's what's going to happen then.
Because what's going to happen is in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, whatever time, point, they think something remarkable is going to happen. The number of people in the hospital is going to go up, no matter what the effect of this distancing is, because they're already infected. I mean, there's already people that are infected, and they haven't. They're getting ready to. I mean, you can take this family that I mentioned. Right now, they've got 4 people dead, 3 people in the hospital, 2 of which are on life support. But they got 20 people that are in quarantine and being tested. Some of those 20 people have the same virus that just killed their relatives. It just killed 4 and maybe in a couple of days, 6 of their relatives. They've got the same virus, and it's not like there's a cure right now to take care of the new ones. The situation as far as treatment's concerned is no different for them as there were to the others. And so they can't do any type of social distancing. They're already infected, and they're already in quarantine at home, and they're probably infecting everybody else that's in the family right now. And so they're not going to be, impacted by the fact that people aren't going to work and they're kind of sheltering in their homes and not interacting. These people are already infected. And the ones that are bouncing up on these numbers, where New York is, or New Jersey is up, New Jersey will be over 1,000, by tomorrow. They're up to 700 now. They might be up to 1,500 by tomorrow. These people are already infected. They just haven't shown symptoms and they haven't been tested, but they're already there. And then it's the ones that are going in the hospital that they've got 150 or something that have already been admitted. They're not going to all of a sudden improve. They're going to go downhill. And if they've got this European version that seems to have a higher fatality rate, they're going to end up in the ICU, and they're going to end up dying. So when they're talking about a couple of weeks from now, the situation is going to be much worse as far as the hospitals are concerned. They're going to be much worse as far as how many cases they've identified. The U.S. in a couple of weeks will be, they'll certainly be past Germany. They'll be past Spain. They'll probably be past Iran. And the only issue is whether they're past Italy and China, because those are the only two in front of them. So at best, the U.S. will be the third highest in the world. And there's a good chance it's going to be hard to catch Italy. Italy's, getting 3,000 or 4,000 a day. So you can keep up with them. I don't know. They might be able to pass them if it keeps going exponentially.
Don't worry, Henry. And, as soon as it warms up a little bit, the virus will go away. Don't worry.
Yeah, and that's going to be what the situation is. The hospitals are going to be overrun, and people are going to be looking and realizing that, they're going to read in the paper, their scientists are saying that 30% of the population is going to have this virus in the next few weeks, or 50% of the population. Or even if it isn't in the next few weeks, it's not clear which is worse. If they have that many infections in the next few weeks, the hospitals won't be able to handle it. But if they have that many infections in the next several months, then they're going to be in trouble. Even if things get better for a couple of months, they're going to have the fall coming up, and the fall may be much worse than the spring.
Remember, people don't get over this in a week or two, all right? People battle this for weeks and weeks. Many of them have been in the hospital for a couple of months. They're not necessarily in critical, but they're not well enough to be discharged. And I'm not seeing any case numbers about people who have been allegedly healed, made well, and released. I'm not seeing any. None.
Well, this table I got, it's got the recovery down here. How many recoveries they got for the U.S.? It's 14,000 cases. How many recovered?
I know a lot about this, and I would have to guess 1,200?
Nine people.
Oh, my God, no.
Nine people. 9.
All right, that makes my point 1,000 times over. Say that again now. How many cases and how many recovered? Pay attention.
Here's the number. Here's the number. 14,152 cases. 208 dead. 60 serious. 4 critical. And 9 recovered. That's the United States of America. That's where we are right now. And Trump is saying, well, let's see if it gets worse. Let's see if we really do need that. I've signed it. Yeah, we can get that stuff whenever we want. It only takes, you know, who knows, take a couple of weeks, take a month. You know, it's going to get warm anyway. What difference does it make? You know, we got it. And then the hospitals are going to be overrun. And the whole population is going to understand why there are these constraints. And they're also going to know why the hospitals don't have masks and they don't have Q-tips and they don't have ventilators and they don't have beds and they don't have doctors. And you're on your own, literally.
You're literally
on your own, right.
Stay home and deal with it.
Healthcare workers are sick. Right. Stay home and see what happens. You know, maybe you'll get the good version of the virus.
The potential
is not so bad. You'll just end up with pneumonia and permanent lung damage.
That's right. Permanent lung damage. Remember that a lot of people who have so-called recovered from this are left permanently impaired. Understand that. They're going to be passing out body bags to probably every city.
They'll run out of body bags.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Not at all. This is really getting to be Donald J. Trump. Yeah. I just, honest to God, I can't believe this. Yeah, oh, he will. He will. Thank you, Henry. Talk to you tomorrow night, Friday night. We'll wrap it up. For then, anyway.
Okay, very good. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right. You're not going to get more information, better information, than you're getting right here with Dr. Henry Nyman every night. I just wish that this man had done something in January to begin manufacturing of the items needed for our healthcare workers to stay relatively safe. And even then it's hard for them because this is such a terribly infectious virus. All right, we'll see what happens. And I think it won't be very long before hospital beds just basically aren't available anymore. Tents will go up outside. Empty buildings will be used. It's going to get bad. All right. Keep trying to prepare, all of you, please. Keep trying to gather food when you can. It's difficult, I know, but don't quit trying. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.